Well, we'll read the scripture and then pray and dismiss the children. But we are going to be taking a break from our series in John. We'll finish, but actually just for this month and next month, for the summer, we're going to be doing a time in the Psalms. So we'll look at different Psalms each week in July and August. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 127. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 127, right near the center of your Bible, we'll be reading that. It says this, Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." Let's pray. Lord, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. Nothing that really matters, nothing that really lasts. And yet we know that you are here. You've promised to be with your children and do your work in us and even do your work through us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of working with you in your strength. And we pray that you would receive the glory as well. So help us today, Lord, to hear your word and understand it and to live it out. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Okay. Children can go. We once visited an old ruined estate in Ireland. There's a lot of those around, if you haven't noticed. There was a statue on this one of a man called George Hervey. You've probably never heard of him. But he used to be somebody everybody had heard of because he used to be the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland, the man that England had put in charge of the entire island. And he was very powerful. He was very rich. He made himself a nice house. He made himself a nice statue, very regal. You could tell he had like the very fancy clothes on and all the rest. But that statue is not so nice anymore. In fact, it blew down in a big storm and the head came off and they can't find it. So it's just not so impressive anymore as it used to be. You can tell he's, you know, standing in a very regal kind of position and looking very impressive, but he's got no head. So it's just kind of pitiful now. And now the estate house that's there used to be grand. It used to be luxurious, used to be amazing and impressive. It's now just a ruin. And I think, you know, that's kind of how things work on this planet. Sometimes things fall apart even as we're working on them. Sometimes they fall apart not long after we think that we've got it done, we've got it secure. But things on this planet don't tend to last. And they tend to be very fragile. Everything can shift so quickly. Dreams can shatter. Even life itself is a vapor. It goes quickly. As Abba says, slipping through our fingers. But Psalm 127 shows us that we don't actually need to despair about the things that we do just coming to nothing. Our work and our effort can actually be established. It can be secure. Even into the future, even beyond our lifetimes, provided that the Lord is the one who is building and guarding with us. So the key factor in our work is not our skill in it. The key factor is not our strength in the work we do. The key factor is whether God is building or not. If he is building the house, that house and our work on it will stand. If he is guarding the city, that city will be protected. If he's not, if he's given it over, if he's stopped protecting it, then there's no army on earth that's going to be able to defend that city if God has given it up. The key to our work is the Lord. And the key to our work is to work in dependence on him. So as a church, and especially as a church who is about to start into a actual literal building project, I think this is a really important thing for us to remember. So this morning we'll look closely at this psalm. We'll see how the Lord is the one who gives success. The Lord is the one who gives security. The Lord is the one who gives rest. And how also the Lord keeps giving, even beyond our lifetimes. So first, let's consider how the Lord is the one who gives success. We all want success. That's a good thing. Of course we do. If we're putting our work into something, anything at all, we want it to be established. We want it to be successful, to lead to good results. We want that in everything we do, in our families, in our workplaces. We certainly want it for our church as well. But how do we get there? This psalm tells us the key factor in all of our work is whether God is working as well. And this psalm was written to be a reminder of that truth for God's people, for Israel. It's if you notice in the heading, it says this is one of the psalms of ascent. Now, this was a psalm that pilgrims would sing as they traveled up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was kind of on a hill, so they were traveling literally up, ascending. So as a psalm of ascent, they would sing on their way up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at one of the festivals that Israel had, like Passover. So notice that at the beginning, it says this is a psalm of Solomon as well, which could either mean that this was written by King Solomon or possibly for King Solomon by someone like David. Either is possible, but either way, this psalm would have been written during the high point of Israel's power and prominence and wealth. And yet, this is a song made to remind everyone to depend on the Lord. At this time, Israel has wealth, they have a powerful army, but who are they singing about depending on for their security, watching over their cities? It's not their army, it's God. They have huge building projects going on, building cities and storehouses and palaces, even, and especially the beautiful temple that Solomon built for the Lord to worship him. The same house of God that the pilgrims would be traveling up to as they're singing this song. And as they go, they sing, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain." It's a really good reminder, and I think this principle applies far beyond Israel going up to Jerusalem. It actually applies to everything, literally everything that we do. We depend on the Lord in everything that we do, whether we recognize that or not. He rules over all things. He is the one who establishes our work. If he establishes our work, then it is established. If he does not, then all of our efforts without him will end up being pointless. And that's true whether the work is in our jobs or in our education, in our relationships, developing our skills. That's true just as humans. Everything we do, even every breath we take, even every heartbeat is dependent on God. If he establishes us, then we are established. If he establishes what we do, then it is established. But without him, actually, we can't do anything. Everything we do is vain. But I think that the pilgrims coming up singing this on their way to Jerusalem would have been thinking primarily about the building up and the protection of God's people. So they're coming with their eyes towards the temple. They're coming towards Jerusalem, where God lived with his people, where they worshipped him. The temple was called God's house, and Israel itself was called the house of Israel. So whether it's the temple that's as a building or the community of God's people as a whole, if this house is going to be built, they know that they would need God to build it with them. And that's actually 100% true for us today as well. Because of Jesus, we who believe in Jesus are the kingdom of God. We are God's new temple where God himself dwells in the Holy Spirit. And God has given us as his people the privilege of being involved in building his kingdom with him. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's talking about the church. He's talking about building up the people of God. And he says the foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation is the gospel. And what a privilege it is to be able to join God's work in building up his kingdom. And yes, we do, as Paul says, need to be careful about building on the right foundation, because otherwise, you know, as our children's song said, if we build on the sand, it's vain, it's pointless, it falls apart. We must build on the gospel. And, you know, I think we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen here among us. When Middleton first started praying for a church to be established in Carrigtwohill, it was hard to see how that was ever going to happen, how that would be possible. But we prayed and worked, and people came together and did our best to build up this church on the foundation of the gospel, trusting in the power of God to save, not our strength, not our ability. But look at where we are. You know, look what God has provided here now. We've been meeting weekly as an established church for a year and a half now. What looked basically impossible is now our reality. God has built his church. And our work with him in that has not been in vain, because God has established. But we're not done. Just because the work has started, it has to continue. And now we have a different kind of work that God has given us to be able to do as well. He's given us the opportunity to start on an actual literal building project. But we've got to make sure that with the physical building, that doesn't change our perspective or our way of going forward as a church. A building is not the point of the church, just like a barn is not the point of a farm. I mean, a barn can be very useful for a farmer, but the farm doesn't exist for the sake of the barn. The barn exists for the sake of the harvest. If there's no harvest, then the barn is just a pointless, empty shed. And that's not what we want. For if God gives us a building, we don't want it to be pointless and empty. As a church, our purpose must remain the same. We've got to stand on the gospel. We've got to live in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to proclaim the power of the gospel to save and transform anyone who believes. We've all worked together to come together and build up each other as a church in the Lord. And the Lord has established us together. But now we can all work together for a church building as well. But unless the Lord is the one who provides and who establishes that work, then number one, it won't happen in the first place. And number two, even if it did happen in our own strength and for our own purposes, then ultimately it would be in vain. Ultimately, it would be pointless. We've come a long way from when Middleton Church started praying for God to build up his people, a church in Carrigtwohill. And looking ahead, I think there's a lot more that can be built here. Not just as far as a physical building, but much more importantly, the church itself. As God saves more people and brings them into fellowship with himself and brings them into fellowship with us. But in all of this building up the people and a building as well, we've got to remember that all of this must be done in dependence on the Lord. It's the Lord who builds his church. Jesus promised, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it." We've got to depend on him and his strength to keep that promise. But building is just the first step. Once you have it, we also need to continue to depend on the Lord, because this psalm shows us not only is the Lord who establishes in the building, it is also the Lord who gives security. That's also in verse 1. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Behind Carrigtwohill on the top of the hill, there's Temple Curraghin Graveyard. I don't know if you've been there, but it's a really nice spot. I recommend it. It has a really beautiful view down in the valley. You can see for a long way from up there. Beautiful spot. But in that graveyard, there's one wall covered with vines that's standing there that is the last wall of an old church building that used to be there. And I think that ruined wall up there is a good reminder that the things on that we build on earth actually just don't really last. Even stone things, even the solidest kind, most solid kind of buildings we can do. And we've got to remember that with, as we enter into a construction project, if we build a building on Main Street, I hope that lasts for a very long time. I hope it lasts right up until the day Jesus returns. But it might not. And that would be sad, but it would be okay if the church that is here was still going on, still living faithfully in the gospel, proclaiming the gospel to the people here. What would be far, far worse is if we got ourselves a building, but then eventually our church began to slip away from trusting in the Lord and starts to trust more and more in our own wisdom or our own resources, our own ways of creating our own versions of salvation, whether that's through, whatever it is, whether it could be something even just religious, putting our trust in good works or charity or something, or becoming like a holy club that we just get comfortable in ourselves and stop reaching out and start stepping out in trust and obedience to the Lord. Like God said to his people and through Isaiah, he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I mean, I think that's one of the worst tragedies that can happen to us at all. To become cold and dead and distant from the Lord, even as we continue to pretend to love him and trust him and follow him, but it's not real. Lord, protect us from that. So building up a church in Carrigtwohill, the people first, and then hopefully a building to hold the people as well. That's all really good, but we can't stop now. Just because God has built us up as a church here, we have to remain vigilant. We have to watch over what God has built. We need to guard what God has given us and keep our eyes and our hearts aware. I mean, we do have a real enemy that that doesn't appreciate us proclaiming the gospel. But we also have an enemy within. We have our own sin that can cause problems. We are the ones who can often cause our own problems within the church. And I would say that, our greatest threat is never really going to come from the outside, from external threats. Those kind of external threats are no match for God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our main threat really is that we ourselves would wander away from the one who built us up and preserves us, that we would stop trusting in him, stop following him. That's, I think, the threat that we have to be most vigilant against. But as we stand in the gospel and put ourselves as a church into God's hands, then I think, we can be very confident because we're not alone. Paul says in 2 Timothy, he says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Paul's confidence in his ability to preserve what God had given him was not his own strength. His confidence was God's ability to protect him and his promise and his character. He says, "I know who I have believed." Paul knows God's character. He knows who God is. He knows him personally. And in that knowledge, he's able to rest secure. "I know who I have believed, and he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him." And that leads us, I think, quite well to our next point, which is that the Lord actually, he gives success, he gives security, but in all of that, he gives us rest. Look at verse 2. "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." The truth is that we could work ourselves silly and it can still be in vain. You can get up and hustle all day long at your job, at your relationships, for your achievements, or us together as a church, we could do that We could do that with the building project, try to do everything in our own strength and do everything that we could. And we could hustle all day long and work ourselves into the ground, but it could still be in vain if we do it without the Lord. But if we're working with the Lord, we can work with confidence that he will complete whatever work he starts. He will protect every one of his promises. I mean, when we work for ourselves in our own strength, then we're working on our own. And you can't really rest when you're doing that. Because if you rest, then the work stops. Because it's all on you. And that's extremely stressful. But when we work with the Lord, we are not alone. And God does not slumber and he does not sleep. So even when we rest, he continues to work. And he can do what we cannot do. We often try so hard to control everything. But he actually does control everything. So if he's working, we have every confidence. He will finish what he starts. In his hands, our work is safe as well. That doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing and just let him do everything. We still have work that God has given us to do. And it's a privilege and it's an honor that he would include us in his work to build and guard with him. He's given us responsibility and he's given us the privilege of doing that. But we work together with him. He builds and we build with him. He watches and we are safe in our watching. He doesn't always do things the way that we expect, but he will never fail to keep his promises. He will never fail to work all things together for good, even the hard things, even the losses that happen, and we mourn them. But even in that, we are safe, even in those times. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And God already has given his Son to us to save us. So how will he not also give us everything else that we need? He will. And in that security, we can work hard and know that our confidence is not in our work. And we can watch carefully and know that our security is not in our watching. And we can keep God's command to rest. And we can actually rest because more of our own work is not the thing that we need most. Always the thing that we need most is the Lord to work. That's what makes our work actually useful and actually establishes it. But God will work, and he won't just work for us, and he won't just work even in our lifetimes. He is working so far beyond, which I think is what the last part of this psalm is about, that the Lord keeps giving even beyond our lifetimes. It feels like we switch into almost a different psalm entirely. In verse 3, he starts talking about children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. But I think this part of the psalm reminds us to look beyond even our own lifetimes in our dependence on the Lord. Our work is not just about us right here, right now. We are part of something much, much bigger than ourselves. God is weaving his story of salvation and redemption through all the generations. And we get to be part of that. But it's not just about us. It's not just about right now. It's so easy to focus just on ourselves and how things impact us and what's going on right in front of us right now. But children remind us that God's plan is bigger than our lifetime. And I think that's one of many reasons why Scripture always sees children as a wonderful blessing. Our world tends to view children as kind of a burden or a distraction from real blessings or real success because the things they're going after are things like a high-powered career, traveling the world, and children can get in the way of things like that, of being rich and famous and whatever it is. But the Psalms show us that children are a reward. Because the biggest success is not that we personally get the best career or fame or wealth or whatever it is. The biggest success is to become part of God's massive, epic story of salvation that's going through all of history. So children are not a distraction from that. They're not a distraction from success in God's kingdom. Far from it. Children are an opportunity for us to invest directly into human beings made in God's own image who will live beyond us. Verse 4 and 5 says, children are like arrows. They can be sent out further than their parents can go. Like an archer sends out an arrow. Our children can go beyond us. They can go into the future. They can go beyond us into other areas of the world, doing things, impacting people that we may never be able to reach. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. But let's be clear that not everyone gets this blessing. There are many kinds of blessings, and God calls different people to different things. The Apostle Paul never had this particular blessing. He never married. He never had children. But both he and the Apostle John both speak about spiritual children that they still invested in. People in God's kingdom that they were able to invest in as if they were their own children. The Apostle John writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He wasn't talking about physical children. He was talking about the church that he was investing himself in. So there's no limits on this. You don't have to have children to put this into practice and to experience the blessing of this. And if you do have children, you're not limited to only investing in your children. You can invest in anyone. And you can invest in the future. And you can remember that our church is not just for us right now. We're entrusted with passing on the gospel to the generations that follow us. So we need to pray that we will remain faithful to the Lord, that he will watch over and protect what he has built here, and that future generations will inherit a faithful gospel church right here in Carrigtwohill, even when all of us are gone. We can also pray that as part of that, you know, we would be able to have a building that we can pass on to future generations as well. Just as the building, like Cork Baptist has a building, and nobody remembers. I mean, we have a picture of some of the people that built it, but we don't know anything really much about them. Nobody really remembers them. But because of what they built, future generations are still being blessed by that building. But much more important than the building itself is the gospel that has been carried on through the generations in that church. And we are actually a granddaughter of that church. So we have inherited from them. We are some of the arrows that are being sent out from their faith. And we can provide that for future generations. Much more important that we hold on to the gospel above everything. But if we can provide a building as well, then that can be a blessing just as it has been for that church. But in all of these things, it is the Lord who gives success. It is the Lord who gives security, so that we can remain in him. It is the Lord who gives rest so that we can work without having that heavy burden on our shoulders of it all depending on us. And it is the Lord who keeps giving even when we're gone. The Lord has given us great success, I think, as a church so far. And we can rejoice in that. We can thank him for it. We wouldn't exist as a church without God's work. He's the one who has saved us each individually. He has provided for that. He brought us together. God has built this church. And now he's given us an opportunity to build a literal building as well. And he can provide for that too. He already has provided everything that we needed to purchase the site, which was more than we had by far. But God provided it. But depending on him doesn't mean we have nothing to do. We have to join the work as well. We get to join the work. And practically, part of that work is our family will be going to America to speak with churches there. Churches that have joined the work here for a long time. They have provided for us so that our family can be here. They actually pay our salary to be here. And we'll be going to speak to them. They pray for us. They join with us. And we'll be talking to them about this building project as well. And I think many have actually joined, even with the cost of the property. So they are joining with us in the work. That's why I'll be gone for the next four Sundays. Jessica and Daniel will be here next week, and then they'll be coming to join us for the rest of the time. We'll miss you a lot. We don't want to leave, but I just want to be here every Sunday. But this is a great opportunity to bring other believers into the work that God is doing here in our church, and now with this building project as well. But I think as we ask others to join us, I think we should also recognize that we should be the first ones to join into this work. This is a building for our church. So we should be the first to give to it. We should be the ones depending on the Lord and joining in the work in Him. So I do think, you know, even as we depend on the Lord to raise up others to give with us, I would encourage you to think about what it might look like for you to join into that work yourselves. It's going to take a lot to make this happen, much more than we are able to do ourselves. That's true. But the Lord can provide for that, and I believe that He will. If He is building, then our work in Him will be established. And it is our privilege to join in the work that He is doing. But I think far, far more important than the literal building itself is the ongoing work of building each other up as God's people here in Carrigtwohill, His church, helping each other to trust the Lord and follow the Lord faithfully, reaching out to our community with the gospel that can save anyone. We have the work of watching over our church to stay close to the Lord so we don't lose sight of the gospel or start to trust in ourselves or something else. We've got to stay building ourselves up on the foundation that God gave us in the gospel. So don't think just about how you can join with the building project. Think about how you can join in building up God's people right here and now. People that will last far longer, right through into eternity, than any, far, far longer than any building we could ever build. But in all of this, it is the Lord who builds. It is the Lord who protects us. He gives us rest in Him, even as we work. And He can establish our work with Him far beyond our lifetimes. Like arrows launched into future generations, what we do here can provide for those who come after us too. It's a huge privilege to work with the Lord in His work of building His kingdom. And what we do in Him, when He is working, everything we do in Him will not be in vain. It will stand, and it will stand forever, as the kingdom of God can never fade away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have provided a foundation for us in the gospel, that You have provided to forgiveness from sin, that You have provided new life in Christ through Your death and resurrection. Thank You for all of these gifts, Lord, and we thank You for the privilege of now being able to join You in Your work of building Your kingdom, building each other up in You, and reaching out with the same gospel that You've forgiven us and saved us, Lord, with, and now has the power to save anyone, anywhere. We pray that many more would be brought in to know You and to love You and to experience Your love themselves and brought into Your kingdom, Lord. We pray that You would continue to build us up as Your people here, even as we see how You have built us up to this point. Lord, continue Your work among us. And we do thank You as well for the opportunity that You've given us to be able to put up a literal building for this church, Lord, which will provide in many ways for us. But we do pray, Lord, for Your provision, and that every step of the way we would build in dependence on You, Lord, and that You would establish the work of our hands for Your glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.